The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network and on cagematch.net as of recent. I'm your host, Strigger. I'm back after almost 5 weeks, I think. It was a demanding time for me in my life and my job, so I had to take some time off. But in the meantime, of course, my good buddy Dylan took care of everything, and he proceeded to upload the show on Cage Match and on MLW, and he did a show on NOAH, so he kept the boat floating while I was away. Dylan, how are you doing?
Yes, first of all, thank you to all the new listeners from Cage Match that came in there. I was very happy to see a lot of people be on there. You know, I've done a lot of cool stuff on there. We got the new theme song before on the Mudo show, and it led right to the new era of the Eastern Lariat on Cage Match. Really, Flosh deserves a lot of credit too. He took painstaking guidance to guide me to navigate through the cage match world. And
you got to tell it to the people. The thing about cage match is, and that's the reason why there is not a cage match app. The guy behind cage match, Philip, he wrote the entire cage match script himself. So it's not like it's a generated website or anything like that. It's just completely handwritten, and that is why there are lots of wrinkles that Cage Match has that you have to consider when you have an undertaking like that.
Yeah, and you know, obviously somebody like him, he's like a technological grandmaster pretty much, to design a site like from scratch like that. And Flush, he's a genius in his own right, watching him work and understanding and the understanding that he has of everything. But yeah, I'm very thankful to all the people that listen to the show and check this out, and all the fine people that also listen every week that we've been on. I love making new fans, love talking to the old fans, and love doing the show. I thought we did a great show last time. I thought really you just left because the Muto Dome show was the pinnacle of wrestling to you, and you just thought it would never get better. And yeah, you came back.
I completely quit watching wrestling. So after Muto, everything was done. But now, Dylan, now that Muto has another storyline in wrestling where Kaito Kiyomiya is carrying his bags, I am back.
That's, and I think I mean, he's a Hall of Famer now, so it's kind of like he, that's what really drew you back in secretly. You want to see what kind of bags he's going to carry. You want to see who's going to induct Muto. You want to see all the big burning questions of wrestling right now. But now that you've come back though, I'm very excited about today's show because a lot of stuff's happened in Japanese in the last month. It's been
I've been following. I've not tweeted much. I've not done a podcast. I even rejected being on the Cagecast about AW Revolution. Flosh asked me to be on, and I just said I just need some time off because work was so heavy these couple of weeks. Because like this, usually the school year starts in late August and finishes in July or something like that. But this school year is much shorter than the last one because the summer vacations in Germany always alternate depending on the state you're in. And so we started late this school year, and we are going to finish very early in late June. And so everything had to be done in a very short range of time. It was very consuming. So I just needed some time to just relax and get my head free, just sit down, watch some wrestling, and that's what I did. And yeah, that's why we're here, Dylan. And you sound excited. I'm excited. And I basically tossed you this idea. So it would be weird to just drop back in and review a single show or anything like that after that many weeks. So I considered doing a show about all the top champions in Japanese companies. And that's where the listeners also came in. You did a tweet about that, asking what the top champions are or who the top champion is in Japanese wrestling right now. We got a lot of responses. Very happy about that. Very happy about being in the interaction with our listeners again. And so, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the champions of the big companies in Japan.
Yes, definitely. Most importantly, thank you to the fans who were awesome. So many people had something to say. It's nice to see not just us, obviously. I mean, it's cool for us, but just Japanese wrestling in general, to have people that want to interact on that level and have so many people check us out and check out Japanese wrestling. I think that's a great thing for the scene as a whole. And yeah, there was a great amount of responses. And the thing is, in Japan, there are so many things going on the last months, like like you said. It's a great way. So, you know, this was a great idea on your part, Striga, and I'm very happy to do it. I was very excited to do the show today, as you can tell already. I gave away. I try to keep my emotional cards to my chest right now, but I've exposed myself. I'm very excited for the show.
You're never shy of exposing your emotional side. Come on. So that's what we love about you. And yeah, so the four champions that you posted in the tweet were Shun Skywalker, Julia, Yuji Nagata, and Katsuhiko Okada. And of course, Okada got a lot of votes from the listeners as being the best world or top champion in Japanese wrestling currently. And he is going to defend his championship against Sanada at the upcoming Sakura Genesis show. And in my opinion, it was a very good decision to have Sanada in the mix with Okada again. And they even did this great promo after Sanada's New Japan Cup victory, where Okada came out and really seemed happy that Sanada is finally back. That Sanada basically, yeah, he's on a new track. He got a new group. He lost his facial hair. He lost a lot of bags and a lot of stones that were wearing on him, basically, to become the guy that he was supposed to be. I'm in the thinking of New Japan Pro Wrestling, I would say. He is this guy. I said it months ago that New Japan has a lot of trouble with the generation that is between the third generation and this new generation, because there are very few guys that actually are top stars in that range. I mean, they tried Evil, they've tried Sanada before, and it didn't really come about. And Kota Ibushi left, Okada is there. So basically he needs a rival. And Sanada in his new incarnation, I think much more than Sanada in his LIJ days, seems like he could actually be that guy. And I think that Okada really wants to have a guy to be his generational rival. And so I'm really looking forward to that title match. But overall, Dylan, what do you think about Okada's title run so far?
Well, I think Okada, he probably would be my pick for the best champion right now. I think he's on an awesome run. The best run of his career, in my opinion, just in terms of character, wrestling-wise. He wasn't in the New Japan Cup, but he had an absolutely phenomenal tag match with him and Tanahashi versus Bishamon at the anniversary show.
And by the way, Dylan, this podcast called the finish.
Yeah, Yoshihashi pinning Tanahashi.
Yeah, we called it.
Yes, that's right. And as it should have been. That was the correct finish. It felt like a big moment for them. Bishamon, an amazing tag team in their own right. But yeah, you know, Okada's great. What you said is so true, though. It's the surrounding cast that they've had a lot of trouble with, especially lately, I feel like. Sanada, you know, I'll kind of expand this a little bit briefly. We don't have to go through everything, just your overall thoughts. What'd you think of the cup, you know, the tournament itself?
The first couple of rounds were not that great, I thought. Because they have this feeling that they need to expand this field very much so. And that there's a lot of wrestlers in the tournament in the field where you exactly know those aren't winning this cup. But once the cup got going, once we got near the quarterfinals, I thought the cup, it gained a lot of steam, especially with David Finlay in his new role. I think I really liked Zanada. I really loved the match between Zack Sabre Jr. and Shota Umino. I thought that was one of the best matches of the tournament.
Yep.
Final was okay. Was a bit anticlimactic in comparison to, for example, the match that I mentioned before with Shota Umino and Zack Sabre. But nonetheless, for Zanada and David Finlay, it was a great tournament to just position themselves to be two guys that are definitely going to be pushed towards the main event scene in this year.
Yeah, I really agree with everything you said, pretty much. I think the tournament as a whole was a real mixed bag. There was some stuff that was really good, and then there was some stuff that kind of sucked. You know, and I thought the tournament, though, I will say, I thought this was a really, in terms of booking, not necessarily wrestling, but in terms of booking, I thought it was a really well-done tournament. Mm-hmm. They successfully elevated Sonata, Finlay, Shota,
yep.
Both of Aussie Open, I would say, benefited very much.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think Aussie Open is the hottest act in wrestling right now, not only in Japan, but they are in AEW, they are in Ring of Honor, they're just tearing the house down wherever they are. They're just awesome.
I thought Fletcher, as a wrestler, I thought Fletcher really stood out in his matches.
He is going to be the big standout. I mean, right now, it's the eyes are on Mark Davis because he got to replace Will Ospreay, of course. But I think the money as a singles wrestler would really be on Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah, no offense to Dunkzilla, but no. I think we have to, you know, I thought Fletcher really stood out. He had great opponents, too, in the Bishamon matches as well. I thought helped him. I thought he was a standout player. Finlay was the big winner of the tournament in my book. I think the thing is, I've always liked him as a wrestler, right? Mm. I think I've always been a big fan of his. I thought he was really underrated. Like, I championed him in the past. I thought even last year, and it's one of those things where people have selective memories, it seems like sometimes. Well, you know, he went through a similar thing with Yoshihashi for a long time, where it's like he just came off of a great run. He was one of the standout players in the G1. Like, him and Ospreay was one of the better matches of the whole tournament. But people still kind of doubted on him a little bit. And I think the one thing that was missing with him is somewhat similar to Hashi, is his look was not – he didn't have the look of a star, you know, even though he was a really talented guy. I think this look is an improvement for him as a heel. I think he really stands out a bit more. It's not like the greatest or anything, but I think he's really improved in that area. And I'm just very happy that we have a heel in this company, a foreign heel specifically, that isn't like cheating guy, you know?
Oh, that's what I expected at first when it was revealed.
Yeah, when Gato showed up.
Yeah, when Gato showed up, that he was going to be in the Bullet Club. But I really think that this incarnation of David Finlay is a breath of fresh air. And even with Gato gets a new role, gets a new catchphrase. I think that's good for him to be in this mix now again. And that it even got the Bullet Club spinning a bit with him as a new leader. So there's some life back in this group now.
The thing is, it's great because, like I said, I've always really enjoyed him as a performer. I thought he was one of the most underrated. But I just love his style as a heel because he's, like I said, he's not a cheating guy, you know, like some lame matches. He is a kind of brawling ass kicker, pretty much, is his role. And look, who better to learn from than his dad, who's one of the best in the history of wrestling at this
exact
role. One of
the best brawling ass kickers in life.
and just in real life as well, on top of it. But I just think he's great at this. I loved his tournament a lot. Like you said, this is where I'm coming from, and I think it's interesting. Sonata's turn was definitely, like, it benefited from being so surprising. You know, it was like an out-of-nowhere thing. Nobody really saw this coming, more or less. Him as a wrestler, though, and I'm always going to be skeptical of him as a performer because I see him wrestle, and it's just, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of him in the ring at the end of the day. The final, I mean, I thought the Kenta match was the worst match of the tournament to me. Sonata versus Kenta.
How in the world are they giving these guys 30 minutes?
Especially now, like, Kenta is not built for that anymore.
Sonata isn't either because he doesn't have, like, the ability to put a 30-minute match together.
Yeah, Kenta was at one point. Sonata never was and never will be. And that's my issue with him is that ultimately he's just not that talented. And I think that's his problem. You know, like, he's got a great look now. The group is fine. I mean, to me, this group is not a main event group, however you slice it, in my opinion. They gave him a good push, and I kind of, at first I was thinking Naito may win the tournament, but then I realized that the final is actually in Sonata's hometown, mm-hmm. and I thought, okay, well, they're going to give Sonata this
yeah,
role.
Yeah.
And it all ended up playing out.
But much like you said, it was set up perfectly because you would think that Naito was going to go over if you hadn't looked up where the final was actually going to be. And then it also dawned on me that this new finish that Sonata used throughout the tournament is the perfect counter to the Destino. And it was all set up very perfectly.
Yeah, and I was skeptical. I was like, oh, he's like Jay's god, so now you've got this Blade Runner type finish. But I've grown to like it, how he does it. I think it's I like it especially because it's so much better than the Dragon Sleeper, which you should just get rid of because he sucks so much at it and it does it so wrong, I would say. But yeah, this finish, he actually does a lot better. But again, as a wrestler, I really don't see main event player in him in any way you slice it. I think it's going to be a tough ride for him. And I actually think that, if anything, this win is cool. It gives him a restart, maybe gives the five guys a little bit of a thing to hang their hat on. That's all good. I do think the main gimmick of all of this, like the end game of all of this, is Finlay, and I'll tell you why. We are on the 10-year anniversary of Bullet Club coming up soon.
Right,
and they're going to want to do something with that, you know, in a pretty major way. And I do think that is something we can look forward to. I think he's a bigger threat for the title than Sonata, personally.
Yes, but do you expect, like, for example, they are doing this match at the end of March now? Or is it early April? I think it's the end of March.
Yeah, it's April.
Okay, yeah, so they are doing that match now. Would be one more title match before Wrestle Kingdom, and that's usually Dominion. I think they've backed away from doing an actual world title match at Dontaku. Yes, I think they've backed away from doing that, actually. Let's see, Dontaku is on May 3rd. In the past, they've even done a junior heavyweight title match in the main event of Dontaku. So I didn't necessarily expect them to do a world title match there, but they would certainly have one in June for Dominion. So yeah. I could see Okada and Finlay in June with Finlay winning. I could totally see that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, that could be a player. And we've seen this playbook. This is totally out of Gato's playbook, right? Yeah. New super pushed foreign guy wins the title, shockingly. Mm-hmm. You know, that's happened so many times over the years. And Okada, I mean, last year they did have a title match at Dontaku. That was in the dome, too, but that was under the Fukuoka Dome.
Oh, yeah. But they've decreased the show nights back in the Fukuoka Kokusai Center.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that may be something to look for as well. Mm. But either way, I still think Finlay would be at Dominion more than then. You also have to consider, what are they going to do? Like, Forbidden Door is going to come in. Is Okada going to have a role in that? Or they want to put a title match on there? Because I think, like, an Ospreay and Omega rematch is more meaningful to the American fans than a title match with Okada.
Mm. You know?
But that may be something we look for, too, that they may have to plan around, so to speak. But I could see that. I could see Finlay being the end game. Or maybe they just want to have Okada. I think if it were me, if I ran New Japan, and I like Finlay a lot, don't get me wrong, I just have Okada keep the title until next Wrestle Kingdom. I think he's a hot champion.
I would do that as well, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's doing the best work of his career. And this is something that I've not seen anybody else say, but I think it's more meaningful than people want to admit. And I was seeing some talk about Kidani, right, recently. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking back, because I really think Okada has flipped a switch since the last G1. And I think it's interesting that right as Kidani had that interview where he criticized the main event matches, where he said, look, these matches are too similar. He criticized a lot of stuff. He criticized the Young Lion system, saying, hey, these excursions are taking too long. Why does Stardom have all these new stars and great matches, and New Japan's not doing that? And everybody got pissed off. Remember, Naito commented on it.
Yep.
Kata called him an idiot president. But after that happened, he is on the best run of his entire career for the last 7-8 months. And I think that's interesting to me, that I wonder what the backstage, because I bet during Okada's real prime coming up years, Gato was there probably kissing his ass, telling him how great he is all the time.
Maybe.
Yeah, like saying, oh, you're a superstar, you're my prize project, you're the golden goose, blah, blah, blah. And but the fans, if you look at all the popularity polls, it was always Tanahashi, or then it was Naito. That would the fans rallied behind more than him. But now, this is the time in his career where he is the guy in all of wrestling. Like, not just New Japan, but all of Japanese wrestling. Okada is this guy, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for flipping the switch. And obviously, I do think that the stuff with Kaito tremendously helped.
I was just going to say, that was the second flip that was switched. When he got to work heel for the first time in years and years and years. I mean, at first, when he had his first run against Tanahashi, he was supposed to be a heel. He was supposed to be the heel champion against the beloved ace in Tanahashi.
Yeah.
But then he became, basically, he became the New York Yankees himself.
Yeah.
And he was just the guy on top. And he always got the, in most cases, he got the monster to oppose him. But now he got to work in this heel role against Kaito. And I think he found something. He found this new energy that was missing, this new spark, this new edge. It's really an edge. I mean, you could really say it's an edge because that was something that he was missing. I mean, he always was the top guy, but you rarely had any idea what the Rainmaker was really looking for. And now we know. I mean, he was there to just completely destroy Kaito, and now he made this statement against Zanada. Hey, I was waiting for you. I was just waiting for a guy to face, and I was just waiting. Nobody is here on top. Nobody's here with me. I am here. Nobody else is.
Yeah, but even that was very sarcastic. He was like, oh, I was waiting for you.
Yes, sure.
Well, he was saying, like, oh, I was waiting for you is probably what you wanted me to say, but actually, what the hell happened to you?
Yeah.
Basically his promo. So Okada is freaking awesome right now. Like, A-plus champion. Like, he's really becoming one of my favorite guys in all of Japanese wrestling. And I think also the Kaito thing, a thing that helped him was the edge was great. But, I mean, how could you not come out of – and like, you know, because I talked about it a little bit on the show with Dean that I thought that really hurt Kaito a lot.
Mm.
But from the Okada perspective, how could you not come out of that match feeling like you're the freaking ace of all of wrestling? You know, like,
I mean,
you
are the machine. You could not come out of that match saying anything less that Okada is the best big match worker in wrestling right now.
Yeah, like super confidence. And that's another thing people forget about. For a few years, Okada, like when the Gato was still with Okada, he needed Gato to cut the show any promos for him because he wasn't as good and well-rounded and confident in himself to do that yet. And now it's like this is a guy that has that's put everything together and shown that he has the toolbox. He's built a house and he built a house on top of his house. Like, this guy is freaking amazing right now. I love his title reign. And even Sonata, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of his, but I'm actually looking forward to this match just to see how Okada will approach it. Because after the Kaito thing, we've seen him had the tag match I mentioned with Bishamon, and also a wonderful tag match where him and Tanahashi faced Narita and Umino. And I thought he was awesome in that match too, beating up on these young guys.
Yes.
Like, they found magic with him right now, and I think that they'd be really smart. And even at the times when he didn't have the edge, he always was. Like, the last few years especially, I think, since the Naito thing kind of played itself out and everything, Okada really was the stabilizing guy for them in a lot of ways. And now it's like, not only is he stabilizing, he's actually hot himself and is pushing things forward. And I think he's really done a wonderful job. A great wrestler right now. And it's helped the company as a whole, in my opinion, as well. You know, you look at that. You know, I think right now, I always say, this is a great thing for this episode, so I'm going to bring this up again. I always say, if you want to grade a company, look at the champions. You know, that's going to be the heart of the company. You've got Okada on top. Hiromu, great match with Leo Rush.
Amazing match. Love it.
Yeah, that was that's the thing. Like, that's another thing I didn't love about Sonata. He was in his hometown, but the crowd was going for the junior match over his match there. But hey, Hiromu was a great champion. I still think he's kind of uninteresting as champion, but he's interesting because he's such a great wrestler that all of his matches rule so much. Even if this isn't my preferred role for him, I think he's doing a great job in it. Tag champions, Bishamon's like a prolific tag team right now, setting up to a great match with Aussie Open. you know, the TV title, Zach, again, I would have still rather it been Ren, but I think he's doing a great job in it. TMDK, they've switched up the factions around. They've got five guys. TMDK's there. People are moving in and out of places. Robbie Eagles is in TMDK now. I can't wait for that match versus Hiromu.
There's a lot of cool stuff going on. They finally... Yeah. Moved some parts around where they had been so stale the last couple, 3, 4, 5 years, with all the stables being just there and not changing a lot. And now they feel like a company that's very much on the rise again.
Yeah, I think we're heading towards a great period for them, both quality-wise and in terms of business. I think that they're really on a good run right now. And they're showing that they're... Again, I really credit the people up top, your Kidanis and Obaris, that are pushing these new ideas forward, you know, in the company. We saw it last year with the stuff with the women. It looks like that's probably going to play out how I feared it may. You know, the wrong people may win.
Yes.
But they are pushing it, and they're pushing a lot of different things, and that alone deserves a lot of credit. From the people up top, I think, again, are the ones that really deserve a lot of credit, but also the performers are performing it. So I think New Japan this is probably the most I've enjoyed New Japan in a long time. Like, you know, where we're at right now.
Me too. On the contrary, Dylan, there's very few things that I like nowadays in Pro Wrestling Noah. And we've talked about that when we reviewed the Muta show. We talked about what company probably benefited the most from the Muta show. And we talked about New Japan, of course, but we also mentioned All Japan Pro Wrestling. And the company that didn't benefit, in our opinion, was the company that basically ran the show in Pro Wrestling, Noah. And there's a lot of issues, I think, with the main event scene in Noah. And you could see that with Jake Lee taking the GHC heavyweight title from Kaito Kiyomiya. The last show we did, I wasn't sure about that happening because I just didn't see GHC heavyweight champion in Jake Lee. And I still am very skeptical about what he's actually going to do and accomplish as a champion, because top guy Jake Lee hasn't worked out in All Japan before. And so we'll have to wait and see what top champion Jake Lee does for Pro Wrestling Noah. Certainly seems like that he's on a good run for himself. Wouldn't have thought that he could have gotten there so early, or even at all. A part of me thinks that he basically lucked in and got this title shot at a point where the company just felt they had to strip it off Kaito, and he was just right there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said last month. You know, the thing with Jake, he has one thing that, you know, because we got into a little bit of a debate over this last month. I definitely strongly felt that Jake would win. It has nothing to do with his in-ring abilities, nothing to do with his drawing, nothing to do with him being a good-looking guy. But he has one thing that you cannot argue, Striga, and I'm going to pose this fact to you. There's one thing that you cannot take away from him, and I'm going to pose this question to you, and you tell me if it's true or not, because I don't think you can debate this. Is Jake Lee's name Kaito Kiyomiya?
That is not the case.
And there you go. Like that. That is the one thing he has, because I think that Okada match, I know everyone loved it, but that's one of those matches I think could be like the worst match of the year in reality. Like for Noah. Like, I mean, it was a great performance, but it did so much damage to Kaito. And it's like, you can't be the champion. Like he can't be the champion after that. It's no. Like, no. It doesn't, like, Jake, it doesn't even matter. Like, it literally doesn't matter about him at all. And this may end up being a short title run anyway.
Yeah.
I could definitely see, because like a lot of rumors are going around about Go. Me and Dean kind of talked about this last week, last episode, where Go could be coming back for the Sumo Hall show in May, which I could bounce back to him. But even then, I just think that they've done so much damage to Kaito that it's hard for me to be very positive. And Jake, to me, I thought the match was okay he had with Kaito.
It was actually better than I thought it would be. When I looked at the time of the match, I think that they did some very smart stuff in the match with Jake Lee working over the midsection. And they basically told the story that everything that Kaito tried was not working out. Mm-hmm. And that basically harkened back to the Okada match, where he tried to do his stuff, it didn't work out. And here he tried some other things that worked out for him in the past, but they did not work out because Jake Lee was always one step ahead of him. And yeah, it was an okay match.
And the sad thing is that his run's not even that great. I mean, his buildup was he won on the pre-show of the Dome show. It was like a meaningless buildup at all. Like, you know, pretty much. And his only win is over Itamura, who's basically a jobber at this point.
Hey, one thing is important here, Dylan.
Yeah.
Since we did it on our last show, we got to rate the two new good-looking guys.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that.
So, Tadasuke, Dylan. Is Tadasuke a good-looking guy?
Oh, if I say yes, WH Park will, like, appear and just strike me down.
So, while WH Park appears.
Yes, I cannot comment on that just for my personal safety.
Okay.
What about Yohei?
No?
So Tadasuke, no, and Yohei, no. Is where, that's kind of the vibe I get from you. Is
that
correct?
We're going to... The apparently good-looking guys. That's the new group.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, he's good.
We talked about the other two.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've got one for sure and a couple of maybes. I mean, listen, Yohei appeals to a certain type of person, I feel like. You know, it depends on your taste. Everyone's good-looking in their heart, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
This is an inclusive message that this group is trying to promote right now. Everybody's a good-looking guy. You're a good-looking guy, Striga. I'm a good-looking guy. Everybody's good-looking guys.
Sure. Sure.
Hey. We're all in. GLG, yes. Baby.
GLG. Yes. That's the five guys of Pro Wrestling Noah.
yes.
Still debating what's the worst name of the two. Good-looking guys or just the guys. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm very angry at Just Five Guys, so I got to bring it back to that because I thought they were fighting Five Guys with Just Four Guys, and now you've became them. I hate Five Guys, Stringer. This is the most overrated burger chain in America and the world.
Yes,
and I thought Tai Chi was fighting them, and now you've become them. You've become what I hate, Just Five Guys, and therefore I could never support them.
But still waiting for the cease and desist.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. Maybe they have some kind of sponsorship deal that we'll see.
But how great are they? They sold a bunch of Just Four Guys shirts to just then branch out to Just Five Guys.
Oh, that's must be a bummer if you bought the Just Four Guys shirts, I would say. But so, in Noah, though.
Yeah, you're expecting... I think you're expecting him to beat Katsuhiko Nakajima on April 16, right?
Yeah,
that's a given. I think like Katsuhiko Nakajima is nowhere near the levels that he could become champion at this point. So then we're looking at May, and Jake Lee would at least have one title defense, and he would then on May 4, that's the rumor that you said, face Goshi Ozaki.
Yeah, that to me is the logical next step, I would say, if you're going to do something. Because, I mean, if not him... Well, we always ask this every time we talk about Noah for some reason. But if not him, who?
Yeah, who's there? That would require him to return at the show that Jake Lee faces Nakajima and challenge him. And then there is one show in between, April 29 in Curriken Hall, where they could do the build-up, the final build-up. But I don't think that they would really need a big build-up for Go returning to the championship. That is a seller on its own.
Yeah, and they kind of did this same story when Go came back over a year ago at this point, when he faced Nakajima at the Budokan, remember? Or not the Budokan, but the... Well, no, it was Budokan, the New Year's show, when it was Nakajima versus Go in the main event. And Kenno and Kaito was in the undercard for the national title. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they kind of did the same deal there, and I think they'll just kind of recycle that with something that doesn't have the emotional impact. But they already kind of teased it when he said, "I am Noah." It's like, okay, it's like, okay, we got to get where this is going, more or less. But man, who cares who Noah is? Like, I just want to see the best wrestlers and be the champion.
Yeah, who is Noah, Dylan?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, nobody knows because five different people have said it on the time. Everybody's... It's like good-looking guys. We're all Noah, deep down, Stringer. You're Noah. You are Noah. The one. Yes.
But what is What is the identity of this company right now, Dylan?
Oh, a train wreck. Like, just awful booking. Up and down, I would say. Like, the thing is...
I'm going to say the one good thing about it is Masaki Tamiya and Daiki Inaba as tag champs.
Yes, you're right. But also, Amakusa is a fantastic...
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Two good things, yes.
Yeah, they're awesome. I love what they're doing. And I will say this. In their defense, from a business standpoint, both the show where Amakusa was in the main event and Harada retired on, that did their biggest number in years and years at Corcoran, over 1,300 people. Mm-hmm. And last year, they couldn't even get over 800. And so... And they did a great number the show after that, too. It's just the Jake and Kaito number was pretty good. I've seen some negativity on it.
Number they did.
Yeah. It was not as negative as people were saying, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Not just in my opinion. It just wasn't. Like, at the end of the day, people were being a little... And I get it, because they're bad, and you want to be negative and dump on them. But we have to be fair, you know, like, at the same time. Like, it was not a bad number. And the other stuff was really good. So I do think that they benefited a little bit from the Dome show, at least, to where you get this Corcoran number. To me, you can't completely write off that people were at that show and then suddenly they have their biggest number in 5 years or whatever at Corcoran Hall. The problem is, like, where they're going is just so bad that I can't...
Is that a substantial crowd? Is it a crowd that's going to stay with the company, or is that a novelty crowd that came in because of the Dome, checked out the regular product, and then said, ooh.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, that show, the Harada show, was such an emotional thing. I think that kind of overwrote any bad stuff on it. And the main event was good. The Amakusa and Hiroki match was very good. Amakusa, amazing champion. Inaba and Kitamiya, I was so happy that they retained their titles. And to me, that and the Sugiura and Taniguchi match was a great match as well. I actually said that was my favorite match on the show, but a lot of people would probably say the tag match was the best. But this is the sad part of Noah, and I say it all the time, and I'll say it again. This roster is great. They have so many great wrestlers on there that better than the other companies. They're better than New Japan roster-wise, but they're booked so poorly that nobody cares about any of their guys. And it sucks. And they don't have a leader. They don't have a beacon of hope, a shining light like Okada. That guy, is any hope for that, I think, you know, you have to really stretch your belief system to think that it's Kaito at this point.
What's the best thing that Kaito could do once upon returning?
Sign with WWE and not return.
I was just going to say leave the company, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, nothing he does in WWE could be worse than what they did to him in Okada, with Okada. Like, that to me killed him dead.
Oh, you're calling WWE out?
Well, I mean, it may be stupid, like Jacket Time or whatever, but even still, I'd rather do that than, like, get it completely embarrassed and, like, you know, like, basically show everyone that you're just incompetent as a wrestler. And also, you're ending up carrying people's bags around as well. You know, and I honestly think that I don't think he'll sign with WWE. I actually think he's just there to carry his bags, literally overall. Like,
I would really love for him to get an extensive stay in the US and just figure out what's next for him.
I think that he's in a really tough spot, and we were talking about it last week, where, you know, Dean was talking about maybe this is a time for him to have a rebirth, you know, change his gimmick around and do that. But we've done that so many times with him.
Yeah.
And it, like, that's not interesting to me at all. Like, if he, the only thing I'd say that's good is that if he gets away from the Muto stuff, which I think has really been an anchor on him. The Shining Wizard, why does he do this move?
That was the interesting part about the match, that he tried to do that Shining Wizard, but even that got completely stopped by Jake Lee with that powerbomb that he did eventually, and then finished off the match. So that even that wasn't working for him.
And that's the thing. I mean, it just on a meta level, this is not how you build stars.
No.
That's all there is to it.
Have to know. That's,
and
it's,
I
not
said
that
it
hard.
Look at when things changed. It was when this ownership company came in. Look at how he's booked before them and after them. It's totally different. They never saw him as the ace, in my opinion. I don't think they ever believed in him.
Yeah, and the thing is, they don't have anyone else in the back pocket that they could put in there.
And that's the problem. That's why we're trying to redo Go again, you know, like, as a potential end game. And I mean, I guess...
Of course, I mean, Kenno is a guy that's incredibly charismatic. He's a guy that could carry the championship once again. But the new guy is missing.
And Kaito is a great wrestler, like somebody who should be the top star by talent-wise. Kenno, amazing performer. You know, Jake, I get what you're saying, and I definitely think the last couple of go-arounds was not great, but I still think Jake is a good talent, personally. I think he's a guy that you could have up in there. Maybe not the top guy, which is where he's at right now, unfortunately, but a guy that could be a main event dude. Mm-hmm. If all things broke right, I think he needs to get away from this heel crap that he's doing, you know, and that should always be, because he's really not changed any from All Japan. Like, so where he left All Japan,
he's just the same guy.
And that's weird. No. Like, why didn't he come up with a new, you know, something different, change
something? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, new moves, something like that. It's really weird. That company is just so weird at how they book it. And it's really it's tough, you know, because I and the sad thing is I want to love Noah. Like, of all the companies, they're the one I probably have the closest connection to from a men's wrestling perspective. But the stuff they're doing, how can I act happy with how it goes in there? I'd say, like I said, the tag titles, I think, have been – the tag titles to me is the one thing you could say they've done right. For a majority of their run, for the last year, they had that weird run where like everybody got injured. They brought in Elgin, and things got wrecked. Yeah, but after that though, everything's been good. Like from July of last year to now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for the tag titles, anyways, it still was bad everywhere else. But for the tag titles,
for a long time, it was actually a company that I liked to watch, and I was into most of the stuff except for the junior scene. Beginning of last year was good, but I don't know, man.
Well, and then you had the stuff with Fujita as champion too, which I think took a lot of people out a lot. Even though I actually liked Fujita, just not the Nakajima stuff over there, and how they were treating people. That it seems like they go out of their way to embarrass their own top stars for some reason.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've got great talent. You could look at them up and down. I think Amakusa. I know I said top champion, but of everybody in the country of Japan, Amakusa is one of the best champions in the ring to me. I think he's a fresh guy, all good matches, doing great things. I love what he does, and I think he's a great performer and somebody that I'm so happy to see him get this run. He's lived up to all my expectations as champion. And another good thing I will say, I think that the stuff they're doing with All Japan is really cool.
Yeah.
Two, it sucks that when Kento came in that arena, he was by far the biggest star on their own show.
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest part for me to reconcile this Kaito thing and why it's so mind-boggling to me, is the blueprint is so easy.
What I just said. I mean, they just have to look at other companies, how they do it. It's not hard to create a champion. It's not hard to create a star. He has to win stuff.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's worked in every single other company throughout history in Japan. And now I'm told that that's not how it goes. But, and I'm just like, what? You know, like I said, Okada, Kento, like, look at them. They're perfect examples. Kento proved on that show. And they're a smaller company than Noah. And he's still the biggest star.
Yeah,
and it sucks. And
he was like, one of the biggest stars in the Tokyo Dome.
That's exactly right. Like, excellent point on your part. But yeah, I mean, overall, the main event scene, if you just look up and down their scene, Jake, we don't have confidence in. Even though I like him as a talent, and I don't want to bury him too much. I think the gimmick and the character and how they use him is all wrong. But we don't have confidence in him to lead the company. Go, that's a retread. We've been there before, multiple times at this point. Then who? And Kaito, to me, is like, he can't be the champion without massive, massive rehabilitations, at this point. And then everybody else, who is there?
Nobody.
And we mentioned Kenno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Void.
Yeah, exactly. And it's on them. It's not the talent's fault in this company. There's people up and down this roster that could be main event players if they so chose and wanted to be. Yeah. But unfortunately, they don't do it. But yeah, Jake, I wasn't trying to diss Jake either on the Twitter post. I saw somebody post that I threw shade on Jake. No, it wasn't even about that. It's just that he literally just won the title. So I feel like it'd be kind of silly to be like, yes, he is the top champion. He just won the championship, so he's having the best title reign. But it wasn't any shade thrown, and I root for him because I want him to prove everybody wrong and be a great talent. But I just not in this scenario. I can't buy it, unfortunately.
Since we've been talking about Kento Miyahara,
yeah,
why don't we take a look at All Japan Pro Wrestling, because they've taken a very interesting approach in the last couple of weeks. First, they, of course, did the title switch from Kento Miyahara to Yuji Nagata, as well as from Atsuki Aoyagi to Naruki Doi. And they gave all their titles away to foreigners. And they formed this group, Zenichi Shin Jidai, the All Japan New Era. Satoshi Kojima has also been seen wearing a New Era shirt, so maybe he's in too. And so they did this group. And the entire purpose of this group now basically is to win back all these championships. And that is a story that is not very creative, not very inspirational, but it's a story that has worked in Japanese wrestling in years past. And with these guys that they have in Zenichi Shin Jidai now, I think they've got their guys that they will position to eventually take the championships from these guys, from Yuji Nagata, Triple Crown champion, from Naoki Doi, junior champion, and of course the latest title switch that was made. Yuma Aoyagi and Naoya Nomura lost the tag team, the world tag team title, to Kenno and Manabu Soya of Congo, who came in as the invading force to All Japan and had a great match with Nomura and with Aoyagi. And they are now tag champions, with Soya also being in the champion carnival. So Nagata on top. He had an amazing match, I thought, with Shuji Ishikawa, where they all left it in the ring. Shuji proved that he is still there when he is called. And Nagata was great there too. Loved the match. What do you think about the story and of Nagata as champion?
Yeah, you know, All Japan to me, they're the opposite. Like, doing just stuff that's easy, that, like you said, always works. Nagata's champion really proving himself with the Kento match, I thought was fantastic. The Shuji match is really good. I some people, like you, really loved it. I could tell by your voice, and I thought it was a really cool match. And Shuji, he's an interesting guy. I remember when he was TV champion like a year and a half ago, he was having really good matches too, and proving that he still had some gas left in the tank, pretty much. And he's really gracefully fallen down the card, really, unlike somebody else I'll talk about in a little bit. But I think he's really gracefully fallen down the card and been very unselfish. Now he gets another shot at the title, and I thought he did a great job in there. Like you said, they left it all in the ring. Like, you cannot criticize their efforts if there's one thing you can say about them, and had a really good main event overall. Nagata, I think, has been a really good choice as champion, similar to when Kojima was in Noah. But I think more, like, the timing of it is better with Nagata, in my opinion. I think that they were more in need of somebody like this, and Kojima winning. I still have that bad taste in my mouth of, like, Cyber Fight ending with the New Japan guy on the main event, and people worked themselves into thinking Kojima was going to join Noah on there. And now he's in a better spot in All Japan. And Nagata's there being a great champion. I think he is doing a wonderful job as champion. I think that the booking is very simplistic. It's nothing like convoluted, nothing that's hard to explain. It's very simple, like you said. And the likelihood is they're going to set something up with the Champion Carnival winner to win the title back. And yes, I think if they do that, that's perfect. And it will totally have cemented Nagata as a great fit in All Japan right now.
Who is it going to be?
That's the question, right? Because the Champion Carnival, to me, the answer...
Because the one thing is, they wouldn't win a thing if it was just Kento again.
And that's kind of who I think it might be.
Yeah,
my fear is that it'll be Suwama, unfortunately. I think that's that would be my number two pick for it. And I just don't think there's who else could, again, if not him, who? Yeah. with All Japan. Like,
I mean,
who
I've said it, they've put up this Zenichi Shin Jidai group, and the logical answer to that, if we're positioning a new guy, would actually be Yuma Aoyagi again.
Yeah, and I think that's tough though because he, well, unfortunately, his partner got injured, and that, you know, who knows what that did to the title reign or whatever. And he won last year as well, which we have to say as well. I think, I mean, as a talent, I think Aoyagi is so underrated in my opinion. I think he's one of the absolute top tier packages in all of Japan. Just wrestling wise, charisma wise. Everything he does is freaking awesome, it seems like. Just like, I remember at the Dome show, he, like, made fun of Muto, and I, like, legitimately popped at that, got tons of heat. It was so freaking good. Like, and that's another great thing about him, too. He's, like, he's great as a babyface or a heel, like, character. And I was kind of, I compare him again to Dante from Devil May Cry, is kind of how I envision his character, where he's, like, he's ultimately a good dude, but he can't help himself from being a cocky prick as well. And, like, nobody's off limits from his mocking. Because we saw it with Kento. He always goes back to when he did turn on him with the German suplex. They still called him back to that years later. I remember when, remember in the Champion Carnival final, he was making fun of Jake's stupid taunt that he had at the start. And here against Kento, he made fun of the fist pose. It was so awesome. I love Yuma. I wish he would win. I have a hard time setting. I feel like I'm setting myself up for disappointment, especially after last year. But he, if I ran All Japan, that is who I would pick. I would say Yuma, take over the company. You could build to a big match with Kento down the line, the guy that you couldn't beat for the title. Make that a major main event. I love that. I hope that's what happens. Honestly,
I'm just trying to look up the Champion Carnival lineups. There we go. So, block A in Champion Carnival, Dylan. We got Yuma in that block. And Yuma Aoyagi on the final night is facing Yoshitatsu. That does not scream like a match that could actually work out for him. The match that I'm looking at... So, all the matches for the final day of Block A. Ryukyu Honda versus Jun Saito, Yuma Aoyagi versus Yoshitatsu, Satoshi Kojima versus Cyrus, and Kento Miyahara versus T-Hawk.
Yeah, so I figure Kento, T-Hawk, and Kojima would be the ones in play. And I kind of thought, too, Kojima is kind of a dark horse pick as well.
Yeah.
Because that's a drawing potential match, like the third generation going for the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
If they were unselfish enough to be like, well, these are two non-All Japan guys going for the
Triple Crown. This entire year has proven that All Japan is very unselfish, that they really look at it from the business side. Even starting last year when they started bringing in like Taichi, Honma, Zanada for random shows, Minoru Suzuki last year as well, starting with him. Yeah. They've been very unselfish and it has benefited them from the business side. And now they got to take the approach. Maybe they think that they need to have a guy like Kojima win it. Because they need a placeholder and they don't feel that Yuma Aoyagi should win it again or that he is ready. And maybe that's the case. So, yeah, wouldn't be the worst thing to go with.
No, I like Kojima as a wrestler. I think him and Nagata would have a great match. And I was going to say that's a big reason why I think their relationship is so good with New Japan right now. You know, it basically came out of nowhere. Again, another Obari initiative was to work with all these different promotions. And with All Japan, that's to me is one of the healthiest ones. In terms of
it totally is.
Yeah, nobody's getting damaged. You know, they're not running over each other. Yes, New Japan is more powerful than them, bigger than them, and they're getting a lot of wins. But it's only for the company's greater good, more or less. So I think that's a really good thing. What's the finals? What's the final show of the B block?
So that B block is running before A block in late April, April 30, actually.
Yeah.
Hokuto Omori versus Yuma Anzai, Takao Omori versus Manabu
Soya.
That's
the final match. Anzai wins the carnival.
Yes. Takao Omori versus Manabu Soya, Zuwama versus Rei Saito. Shuji Ishikawa versus Shotaro Ashido. That's the final matches. There is not really that screams like it would be the deciding match.
I think Suwama is going to win based on that, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Saito have the automatic storyline that they've been going with, the back and forth murders.
But could also mean that Saito ruins it for Suwama.
Yeah, I can see that too. But then who?
then it would be between Ishikawa and Ashino, and Ashino wins the block.
Oh, I would be happy if they did that, because he's a guy, I mean, him and Honda have
And
done
I think I think, sorry for interrupting, but, no, but I think that there is something with Ashino, because Ashino has been beaten down so badly in the last couple of weeks by the Wooden Warriors, even, that
this he got taken off in a body bag.
Yeah, that screams to me. Japanese wrestling tends to do that before tournaments, where the guy that eventually reaches the final or even wins it doesn't get a lot in the months before the tournament.
Man, but he's really been a nobody on this roster.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's
you
true.
Know,
that's true. Like, we've like seen that before.
With who?
With a lot of guys in before tournaments that they've been taken out, that they've not gotten any wins, that they've even been beaten down, but then they eventually win the tournament.
Let's see. Let's look at the
tournament. I don't have a guy in top of my head, but I remember us having talks of guys in similar situations before tournaments.
I'm not, maybe once like that happened. I wouldn't say it's like a
it's not a regular thing, but
yes. Yeah, I'm not buying this with Ashino. Like long story short. Yeah, like I said, I mean, maybe he'll win. I mean, like I said, there's no really good option in that block when you look at it overall. I mean, who are the other people? You got Ishikawa, Suama, Saito, Anzai, and Omori was another match. Yeah. What was the other match of the show?
Hokuto, Omori, and Anzai, Takao, yeah. Omori, and Manabu Soya, Suama, Rei, Saito, Ishikawa, and Ashino.
What about Soya? He's a tag champion.
What about Soya?
Yeah, like I said, if they were going to have an All-Japan guy, if they were going to have Kento win the A block, then Soya would be a good foil.
That's
and, like,
true.
Play to the angle. I can see that as well.
Yeah.
Ashino, I think, is... I really think Ashino is going to struggle in All-Japan, and he has already, like, to be honest, but I will say this, more than beating him down, this body bag angle at least is an angle for him. I don't like it, but...
No. But the final that has the most history to it is, of course, Kojima and Suwama.
Yeah. I think that is a very logical final, to be honest, to have. Let me ask you this about Ashino. One more thing about him. Would he come back as a Voodoo Murderers member?
Oh, God.
Because that's kind of what this angle is leading to. Like, they've kidnapped him. They're going to do some kind of, you know, Taru's going to put him in a trance or some bull crap like that.
Yes.
Like, that's what Voodoo Murders is, ultimately.
They're gonna have him watch a movie, much like in Clockwork Orange, and he's going to be indoctrinated.
Yeah, so something like that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Suwama will convince him, like, reform Runaway Suplex just as a Voodoo Murder. Like, a way worse version of what they were doing before, that they never should have broken up.
The Runaway Murders. Wait, what?
They never should have broken up no. Ashino and Suwama. Suwama never should have been a Voodoo Murder. So remember, first of all.
Well, that's...
Well, and that's the problem with all of that, is the Voodoo Murder stuff. That's like the glaring negative on the card, is that stuff and going on.
All the matches with the Saito brothers and with Cyrus are going to be tough in this block.
I like Cyrus, personally. Like,
I know that you do, but man, Jun Saito and Cyrus, it's just... Wow.
Well, that's the Saito brothers, though. Like, everyone knows they're bad.
And
but, like, Cyrus is not bad, in my opinion.
No, he's not bad, but he's not good either.
I would like to leave it up to the listeners. Are you Team Cyrus or anti-Cyrus right now? We
it's
need
not
to see
these
it.
Two sides. I'm just saying he's not great and good.
I like Cyrus, and I think he will be fine in his role. I like the Vader impersonation.
See, now he's going to be fine.
Like I said, well, I mean, I think he's. Let's see. He had a good match with Kento at the.
Well, that's
the
Kento. Tournament.
And you've got Kojima there. He have a good match with. Yeah. Like I said, if you just judge him by the Saito match, that's going to suck. We agree on that. But yeah, and Yoshitatsu as well is probably not going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, I think he could have good matches with. How about that?
Well, we'll see.
And I think he can perform good in them as well. Just don't do the moonsault. That'd be my advice.
Let's agree on that. Just don't do the moonsault.
Yes, but I like it though. I like that we're having different perspectives on this All Japan here. But yeah, like I said, everything about this company is good to me, except for the Suwama stuff. In my opinion, I don't like the Voodoo Murders. I don't like this Joshi weirdness he's got going on.
It's weird.
You know, yeah, like. And the problem with it is that it's so obviously like a vanity project, like clearly self-serving to him and not anything else. I'm fine with the stuff. Like when they had Hashimoto and Yu in last year, I thought that was cool. Like, I'm all for women in All Japan if you're going to do stuff with them. If you're just going to have Suwama live out some weird fetish crap that he's doing with Maya Yuki, and it's like, okay, I mean, I feel you on one end, but this is not the place to do it, man. Like, this is not how you do things. You're putting the company not at risk, but you're taking away valuable company time for self-serving interest, which is what he always does. Anyway. And that, like I said, that's the one negative thing. Everything else you can run up and down the card. I think I probably like it. I like the Triple Crown right now. I like the Junior Division. I like
the Junior Division is so good, much better than it has been in the last couple of years. I mean, you can also see it with the tournament that they are doing. Yeah. The teams that they have in there, it's a really cool little tournament that's going to be happening alongside the Champion Carnival with Hikaru Sato and Itamura, Ryo Inoue. Oh, I love Ryo Inoue's new look. He looks like a guy right out of a beat-em-up game. It's such an amazing look.
He's a great wrestler, too. Yeah. Like him and I actually thought that might have been the best match on the show. Like the six-man tag with Anzai and Inoue versus the Noah guys.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, like that to me was the best match on that show. And the two that came after it were really good, too. Mm-hmm. The tag match and the world title match. So, but I love that six-man tag.
So Hikaru Sato and Detamura, Ryo Inoue and Oji Shiba, Atsuki Aoyagi and Rising Hayato, Naoki Doi and Naoki Tanisaki. That's one from left field that I did not expect, but great reveal on All Japan's side. And the fifth team is Kotaro Suzuki and Kaito Ishida. Great team as well. Ishida, another great champion. Want to recommend everybody to watch Kaito Ishida versus Kazuma Sakamoto, one of Kazuma's best performances in his career. Recent upload on the great YouTube page. Amazing match. Also good tag team match underneath. Very good show by Great.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of that, I mean, how I thought the All Japan and Great show was like a really cool thing. And
yeah, it was.
Anzai pinning Shima. I mean, whoa.
That was such a great reaction from the crowd as well. So nobody really expected that.
No. And like Anzai is more protected than Kiyomiya is at Noah right now. And he's a young lion. He gets more respect.
And man, Yuma Anzai, the training that All Japan has been doing in the last couple of years has been so, so good. It has produced Atsuki Aoyagi, produced Yuma Anzai, produced Dan Tamura, Ryo Inoue. These guys, they just fit in with the roster, and it just doesn't feel like that they've only been wrestling for 1 or 2 years now, with Anzai less than half a year. He's been wrestling less than half a year and already feels like a core member of this roster. So this company has been very, very good at that. And he's clearly the project. You've said it from the first day that he has been in.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, this guy is just on the rise constantly.
As he should be, because he's completely awesome and should, like, they're doing everything that they should do with him.
His timing is so good. I've said it on Twitter with his jumping knee. That's the perfect move for him.
Oh, shout out to Jumbo. Calling back to the old days there. Like, I mean, who better to emulate than one of the greatest wrestlers of all time? literally the greatest wrestler of all time.
Such a great comeback move for a babyface like him.
I love him. I love Anzai. I love Inoue, a great wrestler. And that was going to be my next point, is that the young guys, I think that they have one of the best groups of rookies in any company. I like all of them. I like the Noah rookies as well. I think that they have good guys on there. I think that the New Japan rookies are all really good too. But these All Japan guys are special to me. Yeah,
and it's like a special generation.
Yeah. And even somebody like you mentioned Shiba, he got his first win recently as well. It looks like he might be a guy who's going to become more of a guy in the company, a core member, as you said. And I think he's a really good talent too. Like, you know, found him like retired outside of Dragon Gate. And suddenly, like now he's really making his way.
Yeah, he won the Independent Junior Heavyweight title recently in DAF Pro. He did. He's carrying that title around now at All Japan. Really put together a very good roster of juniors.
Yeah, the only thing they were missing, it was quality for a while, but not in depth, you know, like not in quantity.
Yeah.
And they're getting more people now, especially some of these freelancers like Yoshimas and obviously Doi, to where this division's filling out finally. And it feels like they're going somewhere. Remember last year's tournament in November? That's yeah. still a problem, though, because there was like, what, six guys in there? And that's the only thing they're missing. The quality is there, but they need more guys, ultimately. And I think that – and even this tournament's only five teams. So they need more people is the only thing they're missing.
Yeah, but they are doing a tag tournament now. They have 10 guys in comparison to the six guys or the five guys in November.
Yeah, but it's still – that's not good enough for a tag.
No,
tag.
But it's better now.
You know, it's a tag tournament, so there has to be more people in it.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're going to do a three-team tournament.
Yeah, but it's not like they just brought in teams from the outside. It's just they've been bringing in guys in the recent weeks to just fill out this roster. And it's,
yeah.
There's still room to grow, of course. Yes, it's not but great. But
even in the heavyweights, I think that's their issue, is that they're not – like there's not enough quantity. Like the quality is there. But the quantity isn't. And I think that's the one thing they're missing. And it's not anybody's fault. It's not like they did something wrong to cause this. They're a smaller company, you know, and they're trying their best to make do with what they can. And it's another reason why I have to praise them, because it's not just New Japan they have a good relationship with. We have the great relationship, I think, has been really cool. They could do a show like they did on the 18th. They've got the Noah deal bubbling up, and I think that could lead to great things in the future. Like Noah and All Japan, Kenno and Soya as tag champions, I think it's cool. You're going to get Kenno on these shows now. They made it seem like it was a big deal that they won the titles too. They didn't like look down on them or anything. They're doing great things with multiple companies, and it's allowed them to get around what I said about maybe not having a lot of quantity. But you look at their shows, they're bringing in different people from New Japan, Great, Noah, to the point where, hey, this does feel like a full company and like a really good one right now. They're rolling on all cylinders, in my opinion, outside of, again, the Suwama stuff I don't love. But the problem is why I kind of keep them at arm's length right now, even though I like what they're doing up and down. We were in this same spot last year around this time, heading into the Champion Carnival. They were hitting on everything. Everything was going great. You ended up having an amazing final turn of the tournament with Yuma winning. And then somehow things just got off the rails, and the second half of last year was really bad, I would say, for All Japan. So I'm worried that they're going to do all this great stuff, and who's to say that something similar doesn't happen again? Maybe it's irrational fear on my part, but it is a fear I have in my mind. That's my only real criticism of them, is that what happened last year. I don't want to get burned again, Striga, because I loved them last year.
I know. Yeah.
But yeah, great company right now. Nagata is a great champion, and Doi is also a good champion. Tag champion's really good as well. What do you think of the criticism that they're all outsiders? Because that's something I've seen a few times.
Yes, I've seen that too, and I've answered that with one very simple sentence, and that's the entire purpose of the Zenichi Shinjidai group. To win back the championships.
Yes, I 100% agree with you on that. I don't think it's a negative at all.
It's not a bad thing, no.
No, I completely agree.
Another company that looks very solid right now is Dragon Gate, Dylan, with their top champion, Shun Skywalker. What do you think about the current reign that he is on?
Yeah, still very young. You know, even among the people I put in and Jake and stuff, the only champion that had won the title, that had been the champion in 2022 was Julia. And that was literally the last day of the year that she won it. Everyone else had won the title in 2023. So you're looking at 2 or 3 month title reigns for a lot of these people. So a lot of new champions. He's had one defense versus Strong Machine J, which was pretty good. It wasn't a great match, but elevated. Yeah,
it was okay.
Yeah, it elevated Strong Machine, which is what they were going for successfully. They're building up to a thing where it's going to be Minoru or Kakuta.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people expect Kakuta to win.
Yeah, they are doing the match on April 5 in Kuroken, Madoka Kikuta versus Kota Minoura, as you said. And the winner of that will challenge Shun Skywalker at Dead or Alive on May 5.
Yeah, so it's too early to really say with him. I will say that, like, a lot of people, I liked the Yoshioka match, actually, like the match where he won. But I saw a lot of, yeah, I did too. And I think a lot of people, I saw some criticism of that match. The Strong Machine J match was not as good, in my opinion, as that match. But he's a great character, You know, like, that's the thing. It's like, he's a great character. Yeah. In the ring, I'm still kind of skeptical. Like, you know, to be honest, I think he's a guy that has a lot of great things that you want. He does a lot of cool stuff. I haven't seen him take that next level match. The only time, the match where we saw the closest to that was when he lost the title the first time. Mm-hmm. At Kobe World. Everything else, I'm pretty underwhelmed, like, by his wrestling, to be honest. But I still love him because he's a great character and, like, a great person to have on the roster. I just wonder how strong this title reign can go with somebody like that compared to Yoshioka, who I thought was, like, an excellent performer.
Yeah.
And the thing is, a lot of people were down on Yoshioka. Like, I saw a lot of comments saying that he's not that charismatic, but I disagreed. I think he was a great champion. I had all tremendous matches, pretty much. And I think we're seeing that. I think that's another issue with this title reign. That last one was so cool and great, in my opinion, that this one's going to have a hard time living up to it.
Yeah, and I think it's not designed to live up to the Yoshioka title run, because the Yoshioka run, much like you said, it was all hits and no misses. And that's just the thing that Yoshioka said from the get-go, is that he wanted to face all former Dreamgate champions. And these title matches were basically all big matches for him. When you look at Shun Skywalker's first defense, he went against Strong Machine J, who, no offense on Strong Machine, but nobody really thought that he could pull up the upset against Skywalker. That was not a hot match at all. It was a match that elevated Skywalker, that elevated Strong Machine somewhat, but not a hot match.
Yeah.
And then you look at the entirety of this run is basically this ultimate heel guy in Dragon Gate took away the championship from the beloved babyface. And that's the entire core of this title run. And that's going to continue, I think, with... I think that... What did you say? Did you think that Kikuta is winning?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Because lately, Dragon Dire has become the fall guy in D-Courage in all of their six-man tag matches. So I'm expecting him to beat Minoura. Minoura, they've also built up nicely with some wins in multi-man matches recently to put on some doubt here, but ultimately I believe that it's going to be Kikuta. And then Shun Skywalker can say he has beaten all of D-Courage, because I don't think that Dire is there. I don't think that he is Dreamgate material right now. And then he needs to move on. And once he's beaten D-Courage, what's left, Dylan? It's Natural Vibes.
I think Dire could get there, and they have a great way to build him up. If they want to in the tournament. Dragon Gate's a real weird company where it feels like things could heat up at different times. I mean, okay, this Shun title reign's going on. Speaking of vibes, what happened to their feud with Z-Bratz? Like, everybody thought that would be a big blow-off disband match.
Yeah.
And it feels like they've dropped it.
They've dropped it. Yeah, they've dropped it completely. That's right. And I'm wondering what's the match going to be at Dead or Alive, right? Because there usually is this big cage match.
Have they done that the last couple of years? I'm not saying yes or no. I can't remember it. They did. I know the ones in the past that you're talking about, just not the last couple of years. It feels like they've stopped that for the last few years.
Oh, you're right, actually.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we all wanted that it would be Z-Bratz.
They've only not done that last year.
Oh, they did the year before?
Yep. Dead or Alive 21 was when Dragon Kid beat SB Kento for the hair.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that was a one-on-one match. If they wanted
to... it came off the cage match, but it was a tag match.
Oh.
It was a cage survival match. Kai and Yamato against Dragon Kid and SB Kento.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They did a cage match, but not the crazy-ass cage match.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I was like, that's what we all wanted. It was a Z-Bratz and Vibes crazy Dead or Alive cage match.
But I can see something similar with M3K going on.
Oh, they've been a great highlight of the company. Like, that's one of my favorite things going on is the M3K stuff. The Mochizukis are awesome as a team.
And they're clearly hinting at them breaking up. Because they also are doing the tag match on the same show that the number one contendership match is the Mochizukis, Masaki and his son are facing Susumu Mochizuki and Yasushi Kan in a tag match.
Yeah, well, I love the Masaki Mochizuki and his son as well. I could totally see something like that happening. I think that's a great idea on your part, and I hope it does, because I think that would add so much fuel to the fire that is that feud. Not feud right now, but we think will become a feud at some point. Father and son, emotional stuff. I'm all for that. I love them as wrestlers. I think Mochizuki Jr. is a great performer, somebody who's going to be around for years to come for Dragon Gate and be a staple of the company. And everybody knows Masaki's still really good at this point. So I'm all for that stuff.
When is SB Kento actually coming back?
He was the guy I predicted to win King of Gate at the start of the year. Like, I thought he would come back and he could be the guy, because I think he has a grudge against Shun, based off the RED stuff, that you could easily work SPK into a babyface, which is going back years ago, I said was his ultimate future, that SPK would be a top babyface for the company because he's so good and charismatic. And I think that this could be a time to pull the trigger if you don't believe in Daya, because like you said, he really hasn't been doing a lot lately.
But then again, my tournament perspective there, Daya hasn't been doing anything, so maybe he'll win King of
Yeah, man, this will be another notch in your this will be the example you can point to in the future. But yeah, I mean, the thing is with DG, it's a little, I think things can be accelerated more there than maybe traditional companies, so to speak. Like I said, stuff could get dropped at any time, or they could pull something out of the, you know, like pull something out of the air, like Kai winning the title. Nobody saw that coming, but I ended up working out. But nobody saw it coming at the time. It was a huge left turn from what they were doing before with Yamato. Or even like when Doi won the title from Benkei. You know, that basically came out of nowhere. So things could happen faster in DG, more or less, than other companies. That's kind of my perspective overall. But I like, to me, they're a good company. I know some people are critical of them. I think story-wise, they have a lot of interesting things, even though some stuff, like not everything lands really, like the Zebrats and Vibes thing, that they kind of fumbled that at the end, or like the most infamous one has to have been Kobe World last year with the Minora push that really screwed up a lot of stuff overall, but maybe they'll do it again. They'll have Minora win against Kakuta and say he is now in the title match there, and nobody wants to see that, so we'll see what happens overall. Another thing I like too is Jason as Brave Gate champion,
right? Yes,
yeah, really cool that he gets the title. He's been a guy that's always like on the fringes kind of the main event the last year or so. He was in the final four of the King of Gate tournament last year, but got hurt before he could see that play through. They had the storyline with him and the factions, which everybody loved. Now to see him finally pay off that as a champion, it's really cool, and he's a great wrestler. So they're moving things in interesting ways. And I don't want to sound down on Shun's title reign. I just think it's tough when you're coming off such a great one. And like you said, the Strong Machine match was good, well enough, but it's nothing that anybody will remember. We'll remember like the Yoshioka matches. And I think he needs that big match to kind of hang his hat on in this title reign. But like you said, that probably isn't even the purpose of it. He is a heel champion. And we're going to see more of that style. We've seen heel champions in DG. That's like a staple of the company in a lot of ways. So I agree with you. I think that it depends on your perspective, his title reign. If you want great matches, he's probably not going to give those a lot compared to Yoshioka. But if you want a story champion, a heel champion, then I think he'll be a good one.
That's right. Yes. Before we go to the Yoshi block, because I think we're going to talk about Julia, Arisa, Mitsuki as well here. I just want to quickly bring in one more male champion in Yuji Okabayashi, because he also got mentioned a lot by the listeners. He is 40 years old right now, actually. And for 450 days, he's been the Big Japan World Strong Heavyweight Champion, has had defenses against Yasufumi Nakanoe, Daisuke Sekimoto, Daimonjisu, Shigeyori Irie, Daichi Hashimoto, Hideyoshi Kamitani, and once again, against Daimonjisu now at the most recent Kuroken Hall show on March 11, which I just yesterday watched, and I thought that the main event was very strong. I really like Daimonji in Big Japan. He plays a good part. He's going to be one of these guys that will also be, much like you said, on the fringe of the main event scene. Maybe tag champ at some point, probably not going to be the heavyweight champion, but a good guy from the outside for them coming in. And Yuji Kobayashi, He is wrestling Daisuke Sakimoto for the title on April 15. And the winner of that match is set to face Yuya Aoki at the big Yokohama Budokan show on May 4. So he's been champion for a long time now. And Big Japan in the past, they've done that the upcoming guy defeated Okabayashi for the title. So can you see Yuya Aoki pulling out the upset?
You know, the one thing I'll say is that I really like that Daimonji So match. I agree with you. I really like this guy a lot in Big Japan. I think he's a guy that, you know, he's been hanging around like the epitome of an indie dude pretty much for a while. You know, the Land's End type of a level person.
He was with Land's End for a long time. Then he was with Kaliga.
Yeah. But so he's in a bigger spot now, but I really liked his match. And Okabayashi, I mean, I can't even say that much about him because he's so amazing, and I've talked about how great he is so many times over the years, but to maybe some of our newer listeners out there, if you haven't seen Okabayashi, you're missing out because he is freaking great. I know Big Japan is not exactly the hottest company ever, really, but him as champion, at least watch his matches because he is great in every way, just the epitome of a beefy guy, strong dude, hits hard, great intensity. He's bald. I mean, what more do you want from a champion? You know, at the end of the day. Yeah, he's bald. What more do you want from this guy, man? I love Okabayashi. That's my dude. And him and Sakamoto, that's a historic rivalry. Strong BJ is like a legendary tag team. Big Japan and all over Japan, really. They're like a legendary team. Yeah. And that's like a match we've seen 1 zillion times, pretty much, with them against each other. And we're going to see it again for old time's sake. I like that they did that here to take away the possibility that they would do it at the show in May again, because we saw that like literally last year. And I like that they're going to do something different. You mentioned it before. Okabayashi has always put over the young guys. You know, that's kind of been his role in the past. And I think that he will do it again against Aoki. I think Aoki will win. This title reign is great for in-ring stuff, but the thing with Big Japan is kind of tough. It's not necessarily that they're like doing embarrassing stuff or whatever, you know, like where I hate.
Well, they are bringing in Madman Pondo and Necro Butcher.
Oh well, I didn't know about that.
They just announced it today.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that never mind that. But for the most part, though, their company is like, it's just boring. Like, you know, it's not like it's terrible, but it's very uninteresting to watch. In my opinion, up and down. There's good wrestlers there and good wrestling up and down, but nothing ever really feels like it matters in Big Japan. You know, like that's my big issue with them.
I'll give you one counterpoint. The same show that they did the strong title match, they did the semi-main. They bet on the juniors. Kaji Tomato and Kota Sekifuda defeated Katsuki Hashimoto and Chicharito Shoki of 2AW in a really, really good semi-main event, I thought. And much like the heavyweight singles champion, Kota Sekifuda has been one of the projects in recent years. And I've mentioned him a couple of years ago, 1 or 2 years ago, as one of the most underrated because he's just not seen. Nobody really watches his matches. But he's been junior heavyweight champion for over 600 days now and has been a great champion. Great title matches, great title run, very protected. And now he's going to face Kaji Tomato, one of the junior legends, indie junior legends in Japanese wrestling at the Yokohama Budokan show. So these two champions are probably two of the most protected in all of Japan, besides Okada, I would say. And those are great title runs. And the junior scene has been much better with Sekifuda on top of it.
Striga, I want to say I completely agree with you on that. But every time I see Big Japan fans talk about him, they hate this guy. Like, they talk about him like he's an awful worker. And I'm like, what? Like, he's good. Like, unique look.
I'm very, very happy, Dylan, that up until now I have not come across this discussion. So
everybody I talk to about him, even on the junior All-Star show, people are like, why is he in that match? Like, he sucks. And it's like, what? Like, I don't understand why people hate this guy so much. Well, I mean, Big Japan fan base is very small anyway, but I would say the majority of fans on him is opinion is negative that I've seen. And I don't understand it because I'm completely with you. I think he's a really talented guy, unique look, good style, like good fit for Big Japan, which is kind of like it's an indie company at this point. It's not kind of, it's an indie company at this point. He fits in with their aesthetic. He feels like a guy that, you know, he could do some death matches if they wanted.
Even Katsumi Kikuta decided to give it a try now.
Well, they're in a weird phase because not a lot of people want to do death matches anymore, it feels like. So they're trying to do this stuff with Kamatani and Kikuta, bring in guys who are good in the strong division to be like, get them in the death match division, which for somebody like Kikuta, I definitely think is a good move because he really stalled out.
And he was not too bad in it.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I didn't see that match, to be honest, but I'm happy for him because, he kind of stalled out as a heavyweight, like a normal heavyweight. So change things up a little bit. I would say it would be a good
thing.
He's
actually going to challenge Hideyoshi Kamitani on April 16 for the deathmatch title.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, two former regular wrestlers taking on, going for the deathmatch title. So that's something. Like I said, the titles, the champions are both good. I completely agree with you on Sekifuda, and everybody loves Okabayashi. I just think, like I said, the company is in a rough spot.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But then again, the tag scene doesn't look too bad either. I mean, they have Astronauts against Nakanoue and Andy Wu coming up. So that's a good title match as well.
Yeah, they're a good company. Like, if you look at their wrestling. But I just feel like, I think they were one of the companies that really suffered the most in the pandemic.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, and I think that they really got that whole two-year stretch or so really soured a lot of people on them. But anytime you've got Okabayashi as champion, I think that company will always be worth watching to some extent. And I like I said, I'm totally on your side on Sekifuda. Overall, I think he's a good worker and a good guy to be champion. And I think they've had a lot of guys come through. And I think, remember, before he was champion, I got news for you. That junior title, it kind of sucked.
Yeah,
to be honest. Yeah, like, you know, the whole time it felt like they were botching it. And I think they've really done a great job. So, I'll give Big Japan some love on this. I like their shows. I skipped through some of them because there are some guys that I'm not that interested in. But the shows are not bad at all. They actually can be really great when you have an Okabayashi level. They've still got a lot of good talent. They've still got Kato doing great things. I think that they've missed somebody
right now.
Yeah, and I was going to mention like somebody they've really missed was Sato, Kosuke. Yeah. So
he's
like
also out for a long time.
Yeah, they've missed him. And then they missed Kato as well. So I think that if they can get some guys back like that, and Kosuke was like one of my favorite guys overall. But I will say this, and I kind of teased it. I'm glad that they're doing the Sekimoto match before the big show because we've seen that so many times. I personally am not that interested in them wrestling again.
No.
Even if it turns out to be good. And I think that, again, that's kind of the ultimate problem with Big Japan. Even if it is good, it's just not that interesting to most people.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, with Yuya Aoki potentially winning the strong title, I mean, he's another of these guys that they need to get behind, but they struggle to get behind others that are not Sekimoto and Okabayashi.
And that's another thing. It's like, it's always going to lead back to the same road at the end of it. But I like Aoki a lot, though. I think he's a really good talent and somebody that's, it's good for him to get a chance on top, see what they can do. And I like to see that, honestly, and I hope it works out.
Exactly. All right. Then some notes towards the end of the show, Dylan, with the first Julia.
Before we get to Joshi, real quick, we don't have to go super in depth into it. What do you think of Hino as DDT?
Oh, yeah, Hino. I liked the match that he had with Yukio Naya. I think that elevated Naya even more. Wasn't the greatest match, but it was at the end of the six-hour show, so who can tell? Really. So I think Hino's run has been decent. Thing about him is he struggles to be very charismatic at points, which is, I think, why they are pairing him with this awful pheromones deal now, because they try to get something out of him.
Yeah,
he is just a great guy whenever it comes to pounding another guy that is equally as big as him. It's been okay.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. This Eno stuff, whatever interest you could have as Tank, like, you know, with this, like, nobody wants to see this in any kind of main event scene. Mm. But I mean, maybe DDT fans do, like, you know, the native fans. I've always said that, you know, it's easy to hate on Pheromones, but they have a fan base. We have to recognize that, even if we don't like it, more or less. Yeah. I thought the tag title match on that show was the best match on the whole show, and I think Mao and Shunma are like great tag champions.
I love Higuchi in his new role, where he came off this great run as the champion, and now he's just goofing around in DDT silliness once again. I mean, what great of a moment was it when Nakatsu just threw this bag right into his face? Tremendous.
Very happy for Nakatsu too.
He needed something. Definitely. Desperately needed something.
Yeah, and ELW original on my own fire streams. There, we have to give Nakatsu some credit. I've been a big fan of his for a while. But yeah, the company, they're another thing kind of similar to Big Japan, where a lot of stuff they do isn't that interesting to me, but there is some good stuff on there if you seek it out. Overall, and they are going to America for a GCW show at WrestleMania weekend, so you'll get to watch them in America. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got some good, like, really great young talent too, a great rookie roster. I would say, you know, that's another great thing we could say about them as well. They've got, you know, it's a grab bag, like that whole 6-hour show. I said it's like half of it is good, half of it's not that great. And I mean, there's like one or two things that are, to me, really awful on all of their shows. But then maybe you'll get something that's really good as well. And you hope that they can get around to this title situation working out. Hino feels like a weird guy to be the champion right now, but I'm a fan of his. You know, I love the match he had with Higuchi. I thought that was like a fantastic performance. And none of their guys have really clicked at a main event level yet. Like,
I was just going to say, who's going to take the title of him?
Yeah, like Mao, Shunma, Ueno, none of those guys have really feel like main event dudes right now. Mm-hmm. Even though I've liked what they've done lately, and I really like Ueno as a talent, I wonder if he'll be able to get over, like, to that level with the DDT audience.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing, up and down. Who could it be? You know, but there again, they're another one where it feels like whoever wins the title, it doesn't really matter that much. Well, like Higuchi was a great champion, but the fans didn't take to it. You know, like the native fans.
Mm. Yeah, let's see. Let's look at the king of DDT. There we go. Yukio Naya is out, by the way, because he has an ankle injury. He's going to be out for 2 or 3 months. That then. Oh, they haven't announced blocks, if I'm not mistaken, but they've announced the guys that are going to be. Oh, it's not the. Oh, it's not a block. It's not a round robin tournament. It's an elimination, of course. Harashima, Yukio Sakaguchi, Katsuhara Higuchi, Tetsuya Endo, Yuki Eno, Shunma Katsumata, Sanshiro Takagi, Mao, Chris Brooks, Jun Akiyama, Cannon, Naruki Doi, Kotaro Suzuki, Yusuke Okada replacing Yukio Naya, and Takeshi Masada. Could be anyone.
Yeah, just like I said, it doesn't feel like it really matters. Like, you know, that's my biggest problem with DDT, and by extension, the last company we talked about, Big Japan. Yeah. It just doesn't feel like anything really matters that happens there. Like, if somebody wins, great, but if not, like, is that really what this company is about? Like, great champions?
No.
Yeah, like exactly. So, like, that's my biggest issue with it. But I wanted to bring up Hino just because I know you're a big fan of DDT, and we all suffered through that judgment show, that 6-hour show. So we have to.
I liked it. Come on.
It was okay. It was not a bad show, honestly. Like, it was actually pretty good. I'm just playing.
Yes. So, Julia, Dylan, I've not been able to check out Stardom due to time restraints in the last couple of months. What about Julia's reign?
Yeah, I'll try to sell you on it again. to be honest, I think they're probably among the better companies, just in terms of wrestling, in men or women. The thing is, she had a very controversial match on the big show at the start of the Triangle Derby final against Maya Yukihi, where she... That match was not like any kind of traditional match. It was a straight-up brawl, like a huge fight. And I thought it was like a great, great, great match. But some fans didn't like it as much overall. Her match with Suzu in February was good. I don't think as good as the October match. But, I mean, that October match was so emotional and great that it would be hard to beat it. And obviously the Shuri title win is like one of the best matches in the history of the company. So I really love her title reign. They did something in the Cinderella tournament. She got eliminated by Mai Sakurai in the first round. But if you're a follower of the promotion, you know that Cinderella crazy upsets happen all the time.
Like, yeah,
you
know, plays they, by its own rules, basically.
Yeah, and they have the over the top rope elimination finish to get somebody like Julia out early. But yeah, she's a fantastic champion, in my opinion. Wrestling wise, great. She showed different styles in all of her matches. Charisma wise, amazing. I mean, the look is basically second to none, I think everybody would say. She got a new theme music there. Somebody had mentioned to me on Twitter, I wish I could remember who said this. There were so many people that replied. I'm sorry that I can't go back. But we were talking about the new theme that she had. And her old theme was really great. And me and Sandre on Dramatic Dream Dragons, we talked about this a little bit too. Her old theme was so great, like cool, like Final Boss type of theme. The new theme is more, it feels like it fits her in a way, even if it's not as cool as the other one. Because she kind of has like a more like pop rap type of theme kind of now. So that's they've done a lot with her. I think she's a wonderful champion. I think the promotion's really good. And even it's like the opposite of what I just said about the last couple of companies. Everything in this company matters. It feels like, you know, watching it. And that's why it's so good to me is that nobody's left out. We just saw a match with Waka Tsukiyama.
Yeah.
Get her first win after years in the company. Waka Tsukiyama is not that talented. Like, not a good wrestler. Even her roll-up finish kind of sucked that she did on Nanae. And yet, that got a huge reaction from the crowd and everybody else. They tell good stories. Everything they do is logical. There's fun stuff in there, too. There's comedy. They have the New Blood shows where they do a lot of comedy on there. They try different things. The wrestling, to me, is top-notch. I mean, they signed so many great people and brought so many great people into the company as well. That's helped a lot, whether it's Julia. Their roster is, to me, the best in the whole country as well. You could go 20 deep on them and have all great wrestlers. Legitimately, I think that Julia's a great champion. I really think you should watch it, to be honest. I think we would enjoy it more. I think everybody should give it a chance, at least. Even if you're not a traditional Joshi fan, I think they have something that appeals to you. Like the Mirai and Hashimoto match from February, which was like to me one of the best matches of the whole year. The 7-Up team with Nanae and Yu, great team. You get heavy hitters, you get high speed stuff, you get charismatic people, you get mixes of everything. I know they were building up to the IWGP title, which is Mercedes and AZM to some people, but Azumi to others. Take out the Azumi and Hazuki. I don't really know why they changed it to a triple threat match. It was going to be Azumi and Mercedes, which I would have been more hyped for. But the triple threat could be good. A lot of people are talking about that title.
Could
really
be a way to get the title off Mercedes without her losing.
And that's kind of what I think is probably how that's going to play out. And, you know, Hazuki would be a great champion for them if they wanted to do that. Azumi would be even better, but I think that she's stuck in the high speed scene right now. Overall, I think Hazuki would be that's a great role for her if they wanted to do that. I think Mercedes is probably not long for this company, to be honest. I think she's going to have her match. And also another thing, great thing about them too, right now, if you want to jump in, is they're building up to a major, major show next month in the late April, I think the 23rd, either 19th or 23rd. But they have a really big show coming up that they're building to. Mercedes and Mayu.
Maybe that's going to be the title shit switch there too. That's the 23rd. Yes, All-Star Grand Queenum. Tag titles, Nanae, Takashi, and Yu against Mirai and Ami Sorei. Then Shuri versus Hiro Hashimoto. Himeka's retirement match against Maika. That's going to be very emotional as well. The IWGP Women's title, the winner of the three-way against Mayu Iwatani. You would think it's going to be Mercedes then, considering that they do this big match there, yeah. Wonder of Stardom titles, Sayaka Mitani versus Mina Shirakawa, and World of Stardom, Julia defense against Tama Nakano.
Yeah, that one was a little out of left field, considering what they were doing lately, but they have so much emotional history to it that it doesn't, you know, like that it still fits. It'll be interesting. I think Julia again, I love her title reign. I think that she's doing a great job, and I think it should continue for a long time. There's been a lot of speculation about how this match will come about. Will there be some kind of stipulation at retirement? And I always say about Tom Nakano, you guys don't understand. Her mentor is Onita. Like, she's not going
all
to retire.
Asia Tag Team Champion.
That's yeah. Onita. Yeah, well, yeah, that's another bad part of All Japan. I purposely ignored, but you still found a way to get it in there. But yeah, like, her mentor is Onita. She's not going to just retire and walk into the sunset. She loves attention too much. That's part of her personality as a human being. So I do not think that will happen. But I also don't think she should win the title either. I think Julia should continue the reign, but it's interesting, at least. I would say that it's like an 80 to 90% chance Julia would win that match, unless they do some kind of crazy stipulation that we're not thinking of or hasn't been announced yet. If they do that, that might even the scales a little bit, but I still think Julia should be the champion because I think she has everything you want. Much like Okada in New Japan right now, I think she is on that same level with the Stardom fans and what she's doing as a performer.
Yes. So that's Julia.
Cinderella tournament going on right now, too.
Right. Like,
Cinderella, for sure.
Yep. Cinderella round 2 and round 3 at the same time, because I think they did some buys in the first round, right?
You think the New Japan Cup is bloated.
Yeah.
Look at this tournament.
Who the hell is this Xena woman from Australia?
She just debuted. I think that's a part of the Club Venus.
Yeah,
they needed somebody for Zaya Brookside. Uh-huh. Now that she's gone, so now we've got Xena. Okay.
We get Xena.
I'm sure Zaya will be back one day, but right now we have Xena. So okay. Hey, but Mariah May has been a real revelation too. Way better than anybody thought. So cool. Yeah, congratulations to Mariah doing some really good work. You know, nobody even really knew that much about an England wrestler, but she's really stepped up her game and done some good things. So shout out to her.
Happy for her.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is Stardom then. Arisa Nakajima was also mentioned by some listeners. I think Sondre even mentioned her. I'm just clicking through the responses. You mentioned to me off the air, and that's a match that I had circled even before you mentioned it, the match that she recently had against Ayame Satomura of 2AW. So, Arisa Nakajima's reign as the Beyond the Sea champion.
She's really, really great. All-time great wrestler, Arisa Nakajima, and still is to this day.
And in fact, Sondre mentioned her, yes.
Shout out to Sondre for mentioning her as well. But yeah, a lot of people
Want to say, Sondre, I've even started to watch some ACT wrestling now because of you hyping it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's hyped those shows to me as well there. So ACT Wrest Girls getting some love right now. But yeah, Nakajima was awesome. Her two matches this year were against Satsumura, which just happened, and then a month or so ago against wrestler Riko Kawahata, who I think is one of the absolute best.
She is very good.
Yeah. Like, of the rookie women's wrestlers in Japan, she's right near the top of the heap there. And also has the best nickname in all of Japanese wrestling as well. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't know.
The new style dreamer that dances on earth and dances in the sky.
Yes! Amazing.
And it totally fits her gimmick, too, as well. So she's dancing, she's dreaming, she's having great matches. And who better to do that with than Nakajima? I don't know about Nakajima's dance moves, but I know that she wrestles really good on there. And that was a great match. And Satsumura was obviously a great match. I love what she started to do. I mean, she's been the champion for a while now. And last year, she was the champion, like, basically all year. And she was wrestling people like Mizunami, Hanako Nakamori, and they were all, and Tsukasa Fujimoto before she left early on. And I think her last match of the year was against Hiroyo Matsumoto. So it's like, those are all great wrestlers. But now in 2023, her matches are against Kawahata and Satsumura. That's, even in defeat, I think totally elevated her opponents. In the Kawahata match, Nakajima was mainly on top for it. Was really one-sided. But in this match with Satsumura, it was about her more than Nakajima, even though she lost in the end. And I think that Nakajima is just an expert-level wrestler and doing great things. Seedling, as a company, all of their shows are always good. The only problem is the availability of them, like, you know, how you can see them. And also, again, their roster is so small that it's like all of their matches, all their shows are like 3-4 matches. You're bringing a lot of outsiders for them. And they're all good. Again, like there's nothing bad on seedling shows usually, but they're just, besides the title, because I do think the title has been made into something, and the tag titles too, when they do stuff as well. But I think that if they had a bigger roster, and especially with Nanae left, Yoshiko's been out for a while, and without them, it's like, you know.
It's basically a shell of a company, and if Arisa wasn't around, they basically could shut down.
And that's, and I mean, look at the champions. I mean, like, you know, Las Fresas are like, they've been the champions for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Nakajima's been the champion for a year and a half almost. It's like, there's nobody there. You know, there's nobody there.
I think but, the only one that they have come up would be Greco Kaiju, right?
Yeah, that's kind of like their prospect.
Yeah, their one prospect. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're again, they use a lot of great talents, you know, like freelancers and stuff like that. You're always getting everybody, you know, no matter what company you're from, whether, you know, you're in a Wave, you know, you're a Wave wrestler. They use Pure J people a lot, which is a great company of talent as well. People like Akari, people like Hanako, as I mentioned before. So they have a lot. But I mean, look at their roster
The women from JTO as well.
Yeah. Like, look at their roster page. Arisa Nakajima, Amazon, Riko Kaiju, and Yoshiko.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. You know, overall. Amazon's a foreign, she's an England wrestler from the UK. And then, like I said, Yoshiko Nakajima, main eventers, and Riko is their young girl and the one they have their hopes on, but that's it. I mean, it's like four people is the roster, so it's like you said, it's more of a shell of a company, and their wrestling is great, but it's hard to really take them, like, look at them as the same as a TJPW or a Stardom.
No,
when you look at that,
yeah, and Pure J is on a similar vein with their roster. They only have like 8 persons on their roster, not a very big company either.
Yeah, Waves, same
yeah,
way.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, but the company that's vastly different to that, because their roster is ever-growing with more rookies debuting on the recent big show, TJPW Grand Princess, is, of course, Tokyo Yoshi Pro Wrestling. And they had an amazing Princess of Princess title match between former champion now Yuka Sakazaki and her tag partner Mitsuki. And Mitsuki actually won the championship in a match that was much harder fought than I would have ever thought between the two, where Yuka Sakazaki really was the dominant champion that she really was at her inner title run, with Mitsuki having to overcome all of the things that got thrown to her, and ended up winning the title finally, and she's now leading the company. So, yeah, Dylan, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was a... That was a really strong show, the Grand Princess. Mizuki winning was a great moment, one that all of the TJPW fans were hyping for so long. They wanted to see it. Sakazaki was a fine champion, but just we've seen her as champion so much that it wasn't that interesting overall. Like, the big pop of this was Mizuki beating her more than her title reign itself. And it all worked out. It was a really cool match, like you said. I do think it started off a little bit too slow because they were trying to tell a story that, like, Sakazaki didn't want to fight Mizuki, which did not work for me, considering they just, like, it's not they just had a match, but that we remember their legendary match a couple of years ago, which was all out, you know, pretty much. And, like, what happened, you know, like, to change between that. But when they got into the action, like you said, it was a very hard-fought match, and they worked really hard, and it was a really good main event overall. Mizuki's champion is cool, like I said, fresh face, new champion for them, but still a pillar of the company, and that's what this show ultimately was about. If you just want to look at that, three of the pillars were champions, and then the other one was in the main event losing, so like this whole show is about them pretty much.
Yeah Still though, with Mitsuki finally at the top of the Princess of Princess title, that opens up opportunities for fresh title matches, and we are seeing the first one being Mitsuki and Nao Kakuta. It's going to be the first title match. Should be just a fine first defense for her, and then we'll see what else is there. Too early to really judge the title run, of course, but really glad that Mitsuki got the title. Another match that really got a lot of good response even great response was the International Princess title, where Rika Tatsumi beat Mio Watanabe and now became a Grand Slam champion in TJPW.
Yeah, that to me was actually my match of the night, personally, even above the main event. I thought it was a great thing. I was really split on who was going to win that match, too, because Watanabe is so over with a lot of the English-speaking fans, and, mm-hmm. and Tatsumi's one of my favorites on the roster. Like, she's kind of like my TJPW favorite. So to see her win was a cool thing. I thought they had a really strong match. The ending sequence with the Dragon Sleeper was, I thought,
oh,
really
Jesus
well
Christ,
done.
Yes, yes.
They had some cool power spots from Watanabe, too, as she always does, transitioning her into, like, the swinging sleeper and then the big swing itself.
She has the greatest giant swinging wrestling going nowadays. Sorry, Claudio, but Mio Watanabe is just so good at it. Even
shots fired.
Just mixing it up in two different ways of applying that that hold, you could say. It's just, she's just,
yeah, great. Yeah, and I thought it was a great match, and I'm very happy for Rika. She's a really cool person in general. If you follow her on Twitter, you know, they're building up to this big America show for Tokyo Joshi Pro, so a lot of their girls are trying to speak English, and she's really cool, like a great representative of the company. Mizuki, another person that's very over with the TJPW fans. And I like the tag titles are on 1 to 1 million, which they're like the legacy people of the company for a lot of people. Miyu and Maki Ito are going to be interested to see what happens with Miyu. It looks like she might be you know, in America for a little while. So what's going to happen with that, I don't know. But there's still plenty of room for those tag titles to really be cool for them.
I got to say, I really like the title of the tag title match. I think that Wasteland War Party was a good fit to have a transitionary title run, and Mio and Maki Ito really put a good match out with these two.
Yeah, I personally am not a huge fan of theirs. You know, I think they're better like doing comedy stuff, like they kind of did on the DDT show, terrorizing Palm Harajuku, you know, something like that. Yeah, but Wasteland War Party, like, they're okay. Like, it's not like they got a unique look to them and all that stuff. Like, the look is really what sells them more than anything. These monstrous heels going after these idols, pretty much overall. But it worked.
But you know what I eventually want out of the Mizuki title run is a title defense against Suzume.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite matches of the night, was Endo versus Suzume, Daisy Monkey imploding overall. I love those two, both of them, Endo and Suzume.
Yep.
I think
they eventually should become like one of the main acts of the company, and at some point in the future really headline one of these big shows.
Oh, I would love if that happened. I think they're both very talented. So I would love that. TJPW in the past has always been very conservative with who they push. It took Mizuki like all this time to finally beat Sakazaki. And nobody else has really been able to break through. And he had a glass ceiling. I mean, Tatsumi had that couple of months as champion, which was really fresh and cool. I think that their prospects are going to be people like Arai and probably... I mean, when Juria comes back, I think she'll be somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
I think they're doing good things for Miyamoto, too. I really liked her match on the show, her and Mizunami.
She's good.
Yeah, I'm a fan of her wrestling, for sure, overall. And, you know, like, Maki Ito still has never been a champion in the company. Right. So
she was international champion.
Oh, yeah. Not the top champion.
No.
International champion. You are correct on that. I misspoke there. You know, you still got stuff with all kinds of people on the roster that there's room to grow. And I think that's the biggest issue with this company, is that it's hard to like, see somebody rise up. It's a very slow-moving process. Mm-hmm. And if it ever happens, I mean, you can't say it's really ever happened for some of these people, even if they're doing... Like, Miyu, that, like, it's cool that she got to be international champion, but that's not the same as the top champion. End of the day. Right. And I think everybody, especially last year in the tournament, people were really pegging her for that. And Ito before her, same situation, similar situation. Although she didn't get to win the tournament, at least. But yeah, it's a good company. There's some stuff that's kind of goofy on there. And there's some stuff that is too idly. Like, I'm not a big fan of Arai, personally. I think she's like, it's obvious that she's a big project. They want her to be great. and maybe she'll get there one day. I mean, it happened for a lot of the other ones. Like Ito was a pretty bad worker at one point, but she got better. You know, like she really improved, and she deserves a lot of credit for that. And hopefully Arai can take a similar step overall. But that's really where their audience is going, I would say. And a lot of the rookies they brought in are kind of like that. But I think the rookie talent is good. You know, like Uehara has something to her. Himawari.
Uehara is very good, yeah.
Yeah. Toga got us a bit of a spotlight in this debut match here. So they've got a ton of young talent. Even people like Endo and Suzume aren't very long in the tooth, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They've got comedic people. I love the Andreza Giant Panda match on the show. That was like a totally hilarious match, in my opinion.
Amazing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get a little bit of everything. I like them. I like them overall as a company, even though there's some criticisms to be made of them, but I think for the most part they're a good company. And maybe not the wrestling caliber is not at the level of a Stardom or even a Seedling, but they have their own charm to them. If you don't go in watching for that reason, you'll get a charm, and you'll get a match that probably surprises you if you come in not expecting it.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, that's all that I had in the tube, Dylan. I think a nice roundup, right?
Yeah. We talked about everything pretty much. I'm very happy that we got to do the show, man. I missed you.
Missed you too.
Yeah, like I missed you, man. I have nobody else in my life except for
you. Oh, Jesus.
that may be a little overdramatic. But still, I'm glad we got to do the show overall. I'm glad the fans got to join us. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I guess one thing I will say before we get on out of here. Do you have any plans? Like, what are you watching for WrestleMania weekend?
Actually, I've not made any plans to watch anything but the Ring of Honor show. I'm definitely going to check out the Ring of Honor show. Definitely going to check out the World on Lucha. That's a staple of mine. And except for that, I haven't looked at the cards, to be quite honest, yet, but I will nearing the end of the week when everything starts, and then I'll cherry pick some of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, you got Bayley and Ibushi.
Right, yes, that's going on. Oh, Bayley and Tanahashi on the Impact versus New Japan show. That's good too. Yes, yes. Right.
Yeah, Impact's doing some big, good things lately. I like what we're seeing with them. Shout out to Josh Alexander. Hopefully him and his family are doing good. Unfortunately, that title reign had to come to an end.
Yeah.
But get back on that horse, brother. Like I said, you've got it. It'll be all right. Just come back soon. I know you can do it. Impact doing some good things, like I said. You know, Ring of Honor, can't wait for that show. Shibata coming in for a match on there. Tanahashi, like you said, on the Impact. So Japan, DDT has their own show. TJPW has their own show. Japan's going to have a big influence on this weekend. You know, and I think that's going to be really cool to see. Obviously, like WrestleMania is the big shows and all of that. And as we know, you are a huge WWE supporter.
Yes.
You know, that's your main jam. You and your Royal Rumble watching that you had
I even was put through watching SmackDown when we were at 16 Carats.
Oh, that's so just crazy.
I'm all in now.
Yeah. Oh, it sold you. I was like, okay, the Royal Rumble, I understand. SmackDown is a little dramatic. Unfortunately, I probably will have to start watching it too, considering I'm going to do a show about it soon. The show about the company, anyway, which I may come to regret sooner than later. But hey, former WXW alumni, Walter Gunther, as some people call him, big match with Sheamus and Drew. That could be a great match there. So, you know, you got. AEW doesn't have any show on WrestleMania. We can do that.
No, they are running their weeklies, and that's it.
Yeah, so
I think that's a good play for AEW because much of the talent, will be on some of the shows on the weekend. I think, or some of the talent.
Yeah,
and it's just a good play of them just not doing that because I think the WrestleMania weekend is mostly an independent. Thing where AEW just feels a bit out of place.
Yeah, I agree with you. It feels like they're kind of lowering themselves to the indie level, know, at the end of the day when they don't need to. And they've got their own problems, I think, outside of WrestleMania weekend right now as well to deal with. But I'm a fan of all the stuff going on. I'm a fan of wrestling. I'm hyped for this time of year always. You know, obviously you coming back and doing the show made me really happy. So we talk about all this Japanese wrestling. Lucha Libre is doing cool things right now. WXW, you were just at their big show, a 16 Carat.
Gonna be happy to get back into Lucha once again. Gonna be watching some of the CMLL stuff that has been on there in recent weeks. Fantastica Mania was fun too. So Lucha is cooking.
Absolutely. Best it's been in a long time.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody. Definitely working on bringing Lucha Talk back too very soon. My show about Lucha Libre.
Yeah, it's great.
Trying to set things up there. So you're going to be hearing a lot more about Lucha from me because I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan this whole time, even though the pandemic got real bad at times with CMLL. And AAA is kind of a crazy company anyway. But hey, shout out to that Vikingo match on AEW.
Great stuff,
My grandma said after that, Mama said that was the best match she ever saw in wrestling.
Wow.
Yeah, she's been watching for like
how about that?
5 years, maybe. You know, but she loved that. And Vikingo is a special talent. Omega did a great job. So every company you look at, I really have no negative things to say on anybody. I think every company is really cooking right now. We've got some great things. And I was a little negative on Noah, but mainly just the world title stuff is just disgusting to me. But everything else I'm you know, doing all right with, you know, and really the junior titles too. We ignored that, but I will not leave this show without saying Stinger sucks, and I never want to see him anymore. I cannot let us go out like this, Strigo, without mentioning that. But yes, that's all. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.